Now it's going.
Good evening. It's Thursday, October 15th, 6 o'clock. Executive Board meeting for the Committee Board 11. All right, the first thing on the agenda would be review the April minutes, and we can... All right, so we'll just go to number two. Office hours. Dominic?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you send out an email. The office is open from 11, 9 to 5. Somebody will be there by 11. How does that work? That's number one. Number two, you have three people who are working 5 days a week. People are required to come in twice a week. Is that correct?
Yes. They got a couple of
five days. Okay, now if somebody's scheduled for Monday, something happens, they're sick, you still have two more people.
Well, then somebody would have to cover for Monday.
Somebody should cover for Monday. I mean, this is a city agency.
Right.
I mean, it's supposed to be open for business.
Yeah, that's what would happen.
Okay, and last but not least, the telephone system. Okay? It's if you want this one, press this. You want that one, press that. On occasion, I got mailboxes full. And they went back and they fixed it. But the bottom line is, if that thing rings three or four times, Verizon or whoever's running the phone system should roll that over to somebody's cell. I mean, that office is not only there for the people who are on the community board. That office is there for the general public. The people who live in Community Board 11, work in Community Board 11, and have to come to Community Board 11 for whatever reason. And if they have a problem, they should be able to call, and somebody should actually pick up the phone between 9 and 5 when you have three staff members working. Now, regardless of whether they're in the office or at home, matter of fact, all three of them could be at home for that matter. Okay? I'm not saying it's mandatory that somebody come in and have to deal with the general public. No, but somebody should be able to pick up a phone. I mean, they're working from 9 to 5.
Yeah, Jeremy,
if it goes over to their cell, and you don't want to give their cell phones out to the general public.
Jeremy, can you come over and just answer a couple of questions?
Sure.
All right, Don brings up a good point. We're supposed to be open from 9 to 5, so the phone should be available from 9 to 5. He mentions that a number of times, you know, people have called and no one even gets back to them.
Me.
No one
answered. It's me. I called. I didn't say they didn't get back to me. On occasion, they got back to me.
Okay.
But some of the times, I got the mailboxes full and you couldn't even leave a message. And then the next time when I happen to speak to somebody, it says the mailbox is full. Harriet says, I just emptied it. I says, you know what? You have a phone? Call the number. Press this number. And guess what? It says the mailbox is full. It says there's something wrong with it. Okay, that shouldn't happen. It should roll over to somebody's cell. If the people are actually getting paid and working from 9 to 5, somebody, a live person, should pick up that phone.
Absolutely.
So I don't know how to do it. I mean, it's going to take time.
Call up Marbell. I mean, whoever's handling your phone system,
tell them you want to call forwarding. It's just going to take time to figure out. I mean, I'm able to do it with one phone. Not all three, yeah.
The thing is, you know, he's right. If somebody calls the office and is not getting any response from anybody, and then, you know, sometimes they get called back, sometimes they don't, that's not okay. You get the general public calling in. They should answer, a human being should answer them. So if somebody's got to be in the office from 9 to 5, then they should be in the office from 9. Somebody's got to man the phone.
Yeah, so I mean, we call back when we can. I mean, Harriet has helped me because if you want to talk about full inboxes, usually it's mine.
Yeah, well, but you call right back.
Well,
usually you call
depends on the person, right? Like sometimes, I mean, unfortunately, he takes precedence, right? I mean, he's chairman of the board. So
to be perfectly honest with you, I'm going to interrupt you now. I really don't care whether you call him back, me back, her back, or anybody on the community board. The people in the community board are there for the general public. Mm-hmm. It's the general public that I'm worried about. We have your cell phone numbers. If we don't get in, we can call another number.
Yeah.
But everybody else doesn't.
So we do call those people back. I mean, Harry reached out to me today about some lady. So we do call them back.
And then another problem I had was I called after a storm. Okay? There was a wire on Waring Avenue across the street. Now, luckily, I didn't see, you know...
Sparks.
I didn't see any sparks or anything like that coming from it. And I think I spoke to you. You told me to call 911.
Yeah.
Okay. Call 911, they told me to call 311. Now, I'm sitting in my car watching this wire, trying to, you know, beep and keep everybody away from it. 311 tells me it's not them, I got to call Con Edison direct. And they connected me to Con Edison. I was there 2.5 hours. Now, I'm on the community board, but I don't work there.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not really my job, but people in that neighborhood, and it's not my immediate neighborhood. I mean, it was Waring Avenue. Matter of fact, it was 2 blocks from Joe Thompson, not Joe, Joe McManus's house. Okay? So that's like about a mile, mile and a half away from me. And the bottom line is I stood there as long as I could, and after about 2 hours and 45 minutes, I had to go take care of some personal business. So while I was leaving, I managed to call Joe. I says, listen, do me a favor. Just look out your window to see if you see a Con Ed truck. The bottom line, he says he looked out there, but he says he didn't see the wire either. This is like about 10 minutes after I left. He says, you know what, I'm going to walk down there. And he walked down there and he says, there's no wire in the street, but I seen the wire you're talking about, and somebody wrapped it around the pole maybe 12 or 15 times. Okay, so I was happy with that because it didn't look like it was electrified at that point. They left it, you know, raw hanging like that, and it was out of the way, so it wasn't going to disturb anything. And then last but not least, after that storm, I mean, I understand it was in the middle of coronavirus and all that other nonsense, okay? But somebody who worked in that office should have been in a car in the area. I mean, I called down about 4 or 5 trees down.
Can I interrupt you?
Yeah, go ahead.
So why wouldn't you call 911? Why do you have to call me first? If you don't know if it's live, a live wire, it could electrocute somebody.
I stood there. I don't know why. I mean, I asked you. I did call 911. You told me to call 911.
So good.
I called 911. 911 told me to call 311. So, I mean, I did what I was advised to do.
So,
okay.
What's wrong there?
The thing wrong there is that somebody should have been in the office or somebody should have been on that line to take care of those phone calls. I shouldn't have had to stay there for 2 hours and 45 minutes to wait for something to happen.
Didn't you do a roll-up with the public, with the elected officials? You were calling me, you called me a couple of times asking me where are the downed trees that I took pictures and put on Facebook, because you were gathering pictures from everybody.
Oh, I was definitely doing stuff. I mean,
he was getting locations on that day. I don't know, did you talk?
Yeah,
he wasn't physically out there, though.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, in other words, would you call up and do this? Could you do that? Check this area, check that area?
I was personally physically out on Pelham Gardens area checking, and actually I called Jeremy a bunch of times.
Me too.
Our area, there were houses for 3 days without electricity, which is disgusting. But that's besides the point. So, again, I guess the police were overwhelmed, and they are still overwhelmed. We'll leave that at that.
I thought it was part of the community board, the employees of the community board, to be calling that in and to checking the neighborhood out.
Well, I know that they were asked to call in because even Mark asked if there's any people without electricity,
yes,
call them in, let them know, and they were trying to hurry the city up to get them service. I know I was calling in a few to Jeremy, and he forwarded, I guess, to Mark or whoever you had to forward the information to. So some of it was going on. Were they physically out on the street? No.
Is that part of your job description, to be out there?
When I need to be, yeah.
Okay.
And after a storm, I think that's, what do you call it? It's not that there was any chance of getting the coronavirus. I mean, nobody's asking you to leave your car. You get in your automobile,
it's
down.
Not always easy to just jump into a car and go driving around.
I understand,
but
I'm talking the day after.
Okay, but even then, it's not that easy.
Yeah,
to
think,
just,
I
you know, if he can do it, he can do it, but we shouldn't hold him accountable, or we shouldn't blame him if him or any of the other staff can't just that particular time be out there. As long as they're manning the phone and calling people back. And he's right, you know, There are times when I have emergencies, I don't call him, I do what I have to do. I call 311 and then I call him. I give him the complaint number because that's what he needs. I don't say, oh, Jeremy, there's a problem, because I know what he's going to tell me.
There's a lot
already.
Of times I call Parks myself.
He's going to tell me, did you call 311? That's
Jay
the first thing.
I call myself in the precinct
so
and stuff like that.
Yeah,
sometimes
but I don't,
they do, sometimes they don't.
Yeah, but
I had to wire it down similar to what you're talking about. Or I call Con Edison right away. And what happened, the fire department came. They said it was a cable wire, whatever. They clipped it. The wire is still there, wrapped around above, because it belonged to Verizon, and people don't have Verizon anymore, so they're not coming back to touch it. So it's just tied around a fence post. But the fire department came right away and cut it. You know, so it wasn't across the street and just, you know, tied it around a pole. Again, you call Con Edison, they come right away because it could cause a fire. So
that's one of the big
they're the first ones
the
I call.
Wires. They won't come and take down the wire. They'll come and put up new wires. But
right.
They won't take down the old ones
right.
while they're there.
Like I said, the fire department was nice enough. The guy just cut it.
Yeah.
And
so we'll go back to the first one, and what are we going to do about this stuff?
Jeremy, 9 to 5, somebody's going to man those phones? Make sure those phones are manned.
Yeah, I'll work on it. It's going to take time. I mean, it's not easy because for a while our phone system was jacked because I was able to transfer phones. Calls to Chris's phone because he doesn't want his cell phone.
But you have, you know, you have three people there. Even if it's a message, call and get the message, and then call the person back. I mean, that's
no. I mean, we do that. We do that. Right. I was falling behind with myself with my voicemail, but Harriet's been clearing
yeah,
it up.
Yeah, you have Harriet and Chris.
Well, that's what it is.
So right now you take turns at the office. The office is open 5 days a week. Everybody opens.
That's the goal. This past Tuesday, because I know somebody said I wasn't there.
So
yeah,
the
morning. The morning. Yeah, I had an issue. This
like Dominic said, if someone calls out, is there a plan B? Let's say it's Chris's.
Well, so for example, Harriet's normally in today. I said, well, I'm coming here. I got to be here for the meeting tonight. You know, so why don't you stay home? You come tomorrow, because I normally have it come tomorrow, so she's coming in tomorrow.
Okay.
So, yeah, we have that contingency plan where we switch out days and whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to minimize the number of people in the office because the city's recommendation is still that people work from home.
I understand that, but you have three people, okay,
mm-hmm.
and you have 5 days to cover.
Yep.
Now, if somebody's got to do a night shift, that could be two separate people that work that day. In other words, one person works during the day and the other person covers the night shift, whatever that happens to be, like this meeting over here. And still, if you cover that, all 5 days and the night thing, nobody's doing more than 2 days a week.
You're still going to have gaps. You're still going to have, I mean, I know when Tony was chairman, he had no problems closing the office for an event for him. So I don't know what you say in that case. I mean, that didn't sound right necessarily, because you should have somebody there to answer the phones, right?
What has that got to do with anything?
You do have instances where the board's never seemed to care before, and the office is closed.
But this has been almost like on a regular basis. I mean, at the beginning, you says we're only going to be open 3 days a week.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, but...
Yeah, it's simple enough. Just, you know, figure a way that somebody answers the phone or somebody gets back to somebody pretty fast.
If you can work on that phone system, like you said, if you want the district manager, press 1 and it forwards it to you, that would be great.
It's not forwarding, it's just leaving a message.
Yeah, that I don't know how to do yet.
Yeah, so I don't know if you can...
I know how to set it up to forward it to one person,
yeah.
But in terms of
but even
all
if the
three...
You may not be able to.
But if,
yeah, and
if the messages come in,
it might be an extra added feature to the.
I have to find out.
If the messages come into the office and they go onto the answering machine, somebody should call in a number. You can call, you know, call the office, see if there's a message. What's the message? Call the person back.
No. Harry takes care of it. Chris takes care of it.
Who provides
our
phone service?
I can do it if I
need to. As long as that's done in a timely manner, you know, that's
called Windstream.
You know, that's fine.
Why can we call them and then? With today's,
yeah, we have
today's technology, there's no reason why the phone cannot be bounced to somebody else. None. And you shouldn't have to do this.
More weight needs to fall on the other staff. But,
I'm saying the phone company should be able to...
Yeah, no, there's a helpline.
I was... Because every time our phone system went down, I would do that myself. I would go into Cablevision and I would set up my rollover. I already had the instructions.
Yeah,
I would do that myself.
I can log into the phone system
but
right
Verizon,
now.
But Verizon, I don't know how they work. But
yeah,
know,
I can log into the phone system right now since I have the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, and I don't know how it is trying to roll over to three separate
cell phones. I can tell you, Harriet hates the new phone system, which is not new at this point. It's, 3 years old or more? I mean, I'm not sorry, it's...
The bottom line is, as long as you get back to people that are calling on a timely manner, I think that would be okay.
Yeah, that's always our goal.
And more so the general public than the people who are members on the community board.
Which is why, a while ago, in consultation with Alan, he agreed, which is why we're not doing special favors for board members, and we're requesting that you take the first step and call 311 or 911. Because we do have a district of over 113,000 residents. At this point, it's probably 128,000-130,000 residents. And we want to be able to try to help everybody, so no special favors for board members, so please call 911 or 311 first before calling.
Okay, approximately how many phone calls do you get a day into that machine?
Not that many. But that doesn't mean I'm constantly on the phone with Harriet. Some days I'm on the phone a lot with Al. I mean, sometimes I'm always texting you guys.
Well, not a lot is what? 50, 20?
But this, no, it's a small number. It's probably a handful, like 5 to 10. But
5 or 10 phone calls.
But remember, there's other things we are doing. This took a lot of work. I mean, you know, I'm still trying to set this up. Maybe we don't need it because it is pretty loud in here without that many people.
You might not need it.
I may not. Hopefully I don't. You never know, though.
Okay, anything else?
Set that back up.
Community complaints. We did set up an equity committee, which is an ad hoc committee, which is going to be chaired by Darrell.
What is an equity committee?
Dealing with equality, you know, if there's any kind of prejudicial remarks or statements or racist statements done, you know, the committee would handle something like that. A little bit different than the ethics committee, ethics committee.
I think the ethics committee handles it afterwards, but maybe being proactive with the equity committee. I think that's the whole goal of it.
In other words, they would do the initial, you know, seeing if there's, Darrell is very straightforward. I spoke to him. I said, look, we want a committee if there's a problem there. I think Christian is the one who put it forth. Christian Amato put the idea forth at the meeting, and it's something that the borough president's office thought it was a good idea, so it's not a big deal.
So do we have to vote on it, or does the bylaws committee has to meet, vote
it's,
on
it's
it?
It's an ad hoc committee, so we can put the committee in without any, we don't need a vote on it.
What about, how is it included in the bylaws, though? Because we need to include it, just like we did with the ethics, the creation of the ethics committee.
Yeah, that'll go to the bylaws committee to figure out how to put that into.
Okay, but I think that they probably have to meet before we can say it's official.
Well, we have to meet with the committee. He's right now, he's still in the process of picking his group and running them past me.
Okay, just like we did, I think, with the ethics committee. We met in January, and I think it became official in April. So I think we might have to do the same thing.
Right, well, as soon as they meet with me, you know, in other words, decide on who's going to be on their board, and then we'll meet, we'll talk about it, and then we'll give them the okay to do it. Community complaints. I don't know, Jeremy, do we get many community complaints?
Depends on the person.
And, you know, again, if they're community complaints, depending on what the complaint is, if it's something that can be handled in-house, we handle it in-house. If it's something that needs to go before the ethics committee, then we turn it over to the ethics committee and they can deal with it from there. Any questions about that?
Yeah, the ethics committee. Okay. You sent me something from the ethics committee of what I was supposedly to have said. Correct. I basically came straight out and says, those are not my words. Okay, you had a tape, supposedly you listened to it. You had a transcript, supposedly you read it. Did they match? No. What I was accused of and what I said were two different things. But yet that committee felt it was obligated to send me someplace. Why? And you had a lawyer that's on that committee, correct?
Two attorneys.
Two attorneys on the committee. So between the two attorneys, yourself and whoever else is on the committee, how many more people?
Just three people.
Three people. So two lawyers and yourself, and you felt that you were obligated to recommend that I go for sensitivity classes or something. Why? Because you felt the general public wanted to hear that?
No.
Okay, I'm asking you a question. Yeah, why?
I think whether it matched exactly, if you read the transcript, you watch the two videos from two different...
Do you guys want to do this in public? I'm not sure you should.
It's up to...
No, I don't care.
Wants to pull
if you don't care,
I don't care. No, go with it.
So,
you were charged with finding out about that statement.
Correct. Or if anything inappropriate...
You were charged... I was being charged with that statement.
Correct.
That's not what I said. And when I adamantly denied it, I'm hearing from someplace, and I don't know whether or not it's true or not, that in an open meeting, you sort of debunked the fact that I denied it and saying that because he did something with someone else, that the statement must be true.
I don't know what that's about.
Well, in other words, because I made an apology to somebody, okay, which is still hanging in my throat, okay, only because, for a better term, I was asked to do it just to get it over with, which, trust me, I did against my better judgment. But the bottom line is, if I'm being accused of something, you better have it right. And it wasn't. And when I adamantly did, you know, and I told you, that's not what I said. You listened to the tape, you read the transcript, and word for word, that wasn't what it was. Am I correct?
What did you say exactly?
According to what I'm led to believe now, I said that she went down there to get drugs. Now, you accuse me of saying she went down there to sell drugs. To me, that's two big different things. And number two, I was being sarcastic. Okay? That's the way I am. And you want to know something? I think this is going to be my last meeting. Okay? Because I really can't take the fact that everybody seems to be so sensitive in this day and age, especially now that they hear about this other committee that's coming up. I mean, I think these people are going to get what you want. I'm going to be gone. So I'll make things very easy for all of you. By November 2nd, All Souls Day, you will have my resignation. Everybody, just have a good day for yourselves.
Thank you.
Okay? I mean, everybody's too sensitive to this, to that. You know, and you can't even say something that's true. Okay?
Done.
Because, I mean, I sent you... No. No.
Let me tell you.
You don't have to tell me anything.
Yeah, I'm
going to
tell you.
I sent you something about the five top countries in the world that are selling drugs, illegal drugs, to the United States. Get off the internet. And it was there.
Dominic, it was insensitive.
Have a good day.
It was insensitive to the person you said it to.
Take care. Stay well, everybody. Stay safe.
Any other new business? No, motion to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you. Meeting ends at 6:30.